What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 440, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast rolling along as we're into March? Jesus,
March. Yep.
We're into March already, which seems crazy. And of course, that is my co-host, Ryan. Everybody, if you're in the chat, say hi to Ryan.
Hello.
Ryan got here with like a minute left. He was, you know, and we are here on Thursday again. We're not typically on Thursday. Next week, we'll be back to the regular scheduled time slot of Wednesdays. But we're here on Thursday again, which gave me some time to kind of cool off after all the graphics cards. We got a lot of graphics card news. So this week we have a lot of interesting things to talk about. Obviously, we're going to talk about NVIDIA in the RTX 5070. We're also going to talk about the performance and launch of Radeon's RX 9000 series, 9070 XT and 9070. And the kind of the contrast in those launches, which is quite interesting. We also have some interesting news from MWC, specifically Samsung. They showed a foldable display that is made for a mobile gaming console, and it might kind of change the form factors we see from mobile gaming consoles, which I thought was really, really cool. New Steam survey, and we have a new crown of the most popular GPU, so we'll talk about that as well. Solar-powered laptop from Lenovo, which I'm surprised we didn't see at CES, but...
Yeah, that seems like a big deal.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that. Western Digital, no longer in the SSD market. It's just going to be SanDisk, but we'll talk about that. And the old homepage of the internet, dig.com, is coming back, which is a pretty interesting story. If you guys, I used to use Dig all the time and watch Dig Nation, and there's a lot of stuff we'll talk about with that as well. So lots of stuff. Also, Ryan took a look at a really cool mouse, and I took a look at a RTX 5070. So we have all that stuff to talk about this week. If you guys are in the live chat, you have any questions, you want to comment, you can definitely do that. Of course, we do have our full show notes page here that has everything that we're going to be talking about as well. So if you do see something that you want to reference later, or if you just want to follow along with us live here, or even when you're watching or listening to the podcast later, it's all right there, the links for everything. So if we talk about something like, oh, what was that solar powered laptop they were talking about, it's right here. All the links are right here for you guys to see. So let's jump in, and we'll kind of mix in my review of the RTX 5070 along with just talking about the RTX 5070 in general. Now, we'll talk about the card that I took a look at before we just get into like overall performance, because I think those two things definitely have to be separated, because if you're an NVIDIA AIB partner, you're still going to come out with cards, even though it's kind of, as I put, very underwhelming, and we'll definitely get into that. So the card that I took a look at is the Solid OC from Zotex. This is what the card looks like. I would say, sort of like an industrial look, almost like that gunmetal color with yellow, or actually more of gold accent. So it's kind of hard to see, but like you can see the gold there where it says Zotec Gaming. And then the back has your full coverage metal back plates. Really good looking card overall. Triple fan cooling solution. And just like everybody else, Zotec has those fans that have the outer frame that's connected to the blades. It's just for a better performance fan there. And one thing that's nice about this card, and you'll see from a lot of 5070s as well, is look at this, Ryan. It is actually two slot.
As I say, this is a very thin, and it's not like wide either, right? It doesn't go like much past the bracket. So very nice.
Yeah. So that's the card from Zotec. And I have to say that I do. So it's been like a year and a half since I reviewed a Zotec graphics card. So the Solid line is very new to me, and I actually really, really like it for sort of like their entry level into their 50 series. The Solid line is awesome. I like the design. Everything goes together really well. And there's actually some RGB lighting. Actually, I'll bring up the review. There is some RGB lighting on the card as well, which let me see here. So You do get some lighting right here. So there's a Zotac Gaming, two Zotac Gaming logos on the end, and those will light up with RGB lighting. So for those who want the RGB lighting, you get it. Of course, this card being a 5070, you have your 12VH PWR power connection right there in the center. There's nothing else to really talk about when it comes to this card. Now, this is the solid OC, so it does have a factory overclock. Now, the issue that I have, and I think Zotac's not 100% to blame with this, and we've seen it. Everybody has done this, so it's not like Zotac's completely at fault. But there's a solid, which is this exact same card without a factory overclock, that's at the MSRP of $549. This card is $699, so it's $150 premium for a factory
overclock,
which that's just too much in my opinion. Yep. Now, yep. ASUS has the same thing. ASUS has their Prime. And their Prime OC, they're priced exactly the same. So it's not a Zotac thing, but just for a factory overclock.
Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, you got to have some other differentiator.
Yeah. And from everything I gather, they're the exact same card. So, but I do like this card. Now, the problem is that the 5070 is very much underwhelming for a lot of different reasons. In my performance, I'll just go to the end here. We have all of our graphs in the review, like always. This is a good 1440p card in general. I found it to be between 12 to 15% faster than the RTX 4070 at 1440p, and that diminishes a little bit at 4K. I wouldn't necessarily call this a 4K card either, because you only get 12 gigabytes of VRAM. You really want 16 if you're doing 4K, but it's about 10 to 12% faster than the RTX 4070 at 4K. And I think the biggest thing, and let me actually bring this up, because I want everybody to really see this. Let me see, NVIDIA RTX 4070 CS. This should bring up the picture. Oh, wait, 5070 CS. Because I want everybody to see this. And we have a video channel too where I show this exact graphic. Because it needs to be shown and it needs to be seen. Because I think that... Why is this taking forever to load? It just... This is what NVIDIA told us. And I think that's why a lot of people are very upset with NVIDIA, beyond other things as well.
Let me see if I can pull it up.
I think it's just a small picture for some reason. Let me bring up our review of it. But essentially what NVIDIA told us at CES was that we would be getting RTX 4090 level performance out of the 5070. That's what we were told from NVIDIA. And for some reason, I really wish I could bring this up. I don't know why. My computer. I feel like, you ever have a time where like you feel like you just need to completely reinstall Chrome? I feel like...
So just giving you some issues tonight.
It's just like, it just seems like it's just slow and slow and slow. Here, this should come up. Okay. Here's what we saw. I really wanted to show this to you guys because this makes a lot more sense. So this was Jensen at CES in January showing RTX 5070 for RTX 4090 performance. And the big thing for everybody was the price, right? Because prices of graphics cards have got out of control. And we saw that we would get, again, RTX 4090. And there was no little asterisk that said DLSS4. There was nothing. It was just this, right? So... Yep. A ton of gamers, everybody was super excited. We're like, okay, NVIDIA is doing us a solid. They're giving us the performance that we want. And then I reviewed the RTX 5080 and I saw that the RTX 5080 did not have the same performance as the RTX 4090. Then I'm like, well, the whole thing was a lie. And yes, you could say with DLSS4, you can get RTX 4090 level performance. Sure. But that's not raw performance, and I think that can be in a discussion in itself. But this is the reason why people are upset with NVIDIA. Now, on top of that, NVIDIA sets an MSRP of $549, right?
Yep.
How many cards were available at launch?
Not enough.
A lot. Not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing too, is that I need to make a long video on this because I feel like I at least have enough information to know what's going on with NVIDIA and AIBs and why you see the $150 difference between a MSRP card and a card that is essentially the same that just has the overclock. Right. And the reason is because the AIBs are forced to make essentially no money on the MSRP cards. Again, this is just my thinking, because like, why would you have $150 difference for an overclock? It just doesn't make sense. No. So basically, AIBs make a first run of MSRP cards and then they're gone. And then you're forced to buy the OC card that's $150 more expensive. And then you go up into the higher level cards, right? So pricing, if you could get one, there was like, I don't know.
They didn't last.
They didn't last at all. So that also comes down to availability. And I think NVIDIA is also partly at fault here because we're not in a chip shortage. Like this is not the chip, you know, it's not the RTX 30 series where we had the chip shortage. And you know, like NVIDIA is a big company. You know the demand for your product. So I could see it on the super, like I could see it on 5090, right? There's not as much because that is a very high-end SKU and you don't want to waste those per se, right? But on a SKU like this, which is going to be very highly sought after because of its price, you should have a lot available. And everything
was especially when you're setting that release date.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now I'm sure that like board has some, you know, like your investors and your board have some say in that, but like you control that date. So you have time to theoretically shore up your inventory.
Yeah. So that's one of the biggest things. It's like a perfect storm of everything. And then we also have tariffs coming, which is going to disrupt pricing. So it's hard to even judge the RTX 5070 in general, because it's like for the average consumer, you can't get it at the $549 price. At $549, it's actually not a bad card. It's a great 1440p card. Of course, you have DLSS4. You have all the other things wrapped up into the NVIDIA experience. But as of right now, can you get one for $549? You can't. And
no.
If you can even find a AIB card, it's probably going to be one that's at least $699, which at $699, it's not a good deal for the performance that you're getting, right?
Right.
And that's the biggest problem, and that's kind of the problem we've seen from the RTX 50 series launch is you can't get these cards at their supposed MSRP. And at least from what I've gathered is that the AIBs don't want to sell them at the MSRP because they don't make any money.
Yeah, there's no incentive for them. And that's why, like you said.
And they might even, I don't know. Like I said, I haven't talked to any of the AIBs specifically about this, but maybe they're even losing money, right? But they're forced to have to sell an AIB card. But right. Then once that first run is gone, I don't know if they're ever going to make them again. And I think that's the biggest thing with this is getting it at the price that NVIDIA says. And I think that is, like I said, I think that's the biggest thing that I see. Jonathan Davis in the chat said another Vapor launch. Yeah. I mean, it kind of seems like it, you know, it's just, if there's like five, if like Micro Center has five, like your Micro Center, that's not necessary. I can't.
No, it's so frustrating. Like you wish there was almost like laws against this of like, you've said that you're going to sell it. Like this is the MSRP, right? Like, and I don't know, just some consumer protection, right? If like, that's the price you're putting out there, like I should be able to buy it. And I think I brought this up either last week or the week before of like Apple and selling the new iPhone, right? Like you can buy it for that price. You may not be able to get it day one or week one, but they're going to make more and you're going to be able to get it for that price. And we can't do that with video cards.
Well, here's the thing is that I don't think a lot of people realize that AIBs and NVIDIA are completely different, right? NVIDIA,
right.
When you buy a Founders Edition, you're buying it from NVIDIA directly. Absolutely. So you also don't have to figure out, the AIBs have to deal with all of the stocking and like the stocking cost of like shipping all the cards to a Newegg or to a Micro Center, and that whole channel of everything that goes into being an actual supplier. NVIDIA is not a supplier in that realm. You're buying it directly right. from them. They don't have to send all the cards to an Amazon or like I said. So
I get that.
And the biggest thing that we have a story on this too, but there is a Founders Edition of a 5070, but NVIDIA wasn't ready with it. What?
Which is wild.
So you have this MSRP, you have like this Founders Edition right here that's on the screen. It's not coming out till later this month. Why? Like, you knew your launch date. So yep. like, and they haven't released like, they're stuck in cut. Like, remember, like, sometimes things get stuck in customs. Like, oh yeah, they all got stuck in customs, or like they were having an issue or something. But like, why later this month are the ones that you can get at the MSRP? Like, where, you know what I mean? Like, the whole thing is just completely messed up.
Yeah, for sure.
So Stallion in the chat says, any thoughts on OptiScaler potentially supporting FSR for DLL injections into any title that has DLSS 2 plus and NVPI? I honestly have no clue.
I hadn't heard that, but it sounds cool, like being able to support that on some titles that don't natively support it.
Yeah, I think we're kind of getting there to that point too, where especially with NVIDIA, they have like with their DLSS4 override, that we're getting to the point where like I think that AMD and NVIDIA, yes, of course they're going to work with game partners, but they're going to have it so like the games can, you can just like in the NVIDIA app, you can just like kind of turn it on, and it's going to work with not everything, but certain things. It would just kind of work. Not yet, but maybe in like a couple generations that will be the thing. But yeah, the 5070 launch is just like, you can't, the biggest thing as like a reviewer, so like for me, I can't judge the card knowing that nobody can get it at the MSRP. I can judge the card at $549, but it's not fair to say this is a decent card when nobody can get it at the MSRP. I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, it's not a decent card at the available prices. Or
yeah.
And like throw in availability as well, right? Which then affects price even more. So
yeah, and I don't know, the thing is too, is like again, NVIDIA knows what, like they know their demand. So like why aren't the cards there? Especially the Founders Editions, like why aren't they there? It just doesn't make any sense to me. I think that's the biggest thing.
That's crummy.
Yeah, so that's my review. Like I said, I like the Zotac card. Honestly, I think it's a good card. I haven't tested any other 5070s. We have an Asus card here that I'll be testing here soon, so stay tuned for that. And if you could get these cards at MSRP, you could choose either AMD or NVIDIA. Like, you know what I mean? Like. Prices aren't horrible, but you can't get them at the prices. That's literally the biggest thing. So check out the review of the Zotac card if you're interested. We have, of course, all of that linked. We'll move over to Ryan, and he took a look at a mouse. Are you still using this mouse?
Which one?
The PulseFire.
I mean, they look very similar. Yeah, well, I am. Let me share.
Do you have
I have them both. I have them both here. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Let's share this. Okay, yeah. So I took a look at the HyperX PulseFire Haste 2 Pro, which is very similar to the PulseFire Haste 2. And I've actually got an image in here that shows. But yeah, I have them both right here.
Nice.
And like for all intents and like purposes,
the
gray is awesome.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this in my review, like the packaging for it makes it the gray look like almost a little glossy or like a semi-gloss, which in the picture it does look very cool, but it is not semi-glossy. It is kind of that matte finish that you would expect from a mouse. But yeah, they changed it up a little bit. They don't offer like a black version and a white version anymore. It is just this gray version with black accents, which I think looks great and kind of, you know, a little unique. It's not the first time we've seen a gray mouse or a mouse that isn't black or white, but it is cool nonetheless. So honestly, if you know the HyperX Pulsefire Haste 2, you pretty much know the Haste 2 Pro. Same weight of 61 grams. Same 26K DPI sensor. The major changes are it has a 4K polling rate. So the previous versions only had 1,000 hertz. This one can do up to 4,000 hertz on your polling rate. And this one also uses optical switches for the buttons as opposed to traditional mechanical switches. So that gives you a little advantage with regards to debounce going away, that you don't have to worry about that with optical switches. You get a little more precise, you know, a little more accuracy with your clicks as well being registered.
I think that teamed with the 4K sensor is a good move.
Yeah.
Because you can, with the optical switches, you can like, you ever see that?
You just jam on them. Yeah.
Yeah. You could. Yeah. So.
And one thing I did notice also that, and I notated it in the review, is since I've got them both here side by side, the click sound is a little different between the two switches. Even though they're same material, same shape, everything about the body and design is the same, the sound actually feels like a little more solid. I just enjoy the sound a little more. The original is just a sharper sound on the Haste 2. The Pro has a little more dull sound. It's a little squishier feeling, if I'm honest, but I don't mind it. It's still a very accurate clicking feel and everything like that. Pretty straightforward. You've got your standard PTFE feet as well. This is a multi-mode connection mouse, so you're going to get 2.4 gigahertz via a USB dongle that does have a little spot in the bottom that we'll talk about to hold that dongle. Bluetooth as well as wired, of course, for that. So let's get right to taking a look at this mouse.
So 61 grams, you said, right?
61 grams, correct.
Nice.
Page 2. Oh, I guess I have to click the 2. Yeah, so here's just like, you know, standard look at the mouse. Very plain. It's not an ambidextrous mouse. This is going to be for right-handed folks or right-handed use because it does have the thumb buttons on the side, but they are only on the left side of the mouse body. The right side is just plain old plastic. Nothing special there on the side. Now, just like previous versions of the Haste, it does come with some rubber pads. In the pictures, I didn't have them on there. But let me show you the
image. Have you added pads. Them since?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've got them on.
I think, yeah, because you're like a year. Ryan's a side. I feel like I've never been the person to add those. Maybe I should.
Well, and like a lot of so this is the third Haste mouse that I've used as my daily driver. So I'm going on like 6 years of using essentially the same mouse. Previous to that, I was on a Corsair that had rubber grips just built into it on the sides.
Yeah.
And I liked that. But before that, I don't think I used a mouse with grip on the side. So this was kind of, you know, but yes, like I mentioned, it comes with side grips as well as left and right click button grips. I don't use the button pads, but I do use the sides. Also comes with an extra set of PTFE feet for the bottom. If you wear them out or lose one, you can swap that out. Comes with their I'm forgetting the name of it. I don't think Hyperlite cable, maybe Hyperlite 2. Just a really lightweight and flexible cable. So if you do need to use this mouse while it's charging or in a cabled mode, it's just like a really lightweight, almost no, you can't feel that you're using it in wired mode, essentially.
Nice.
Obviously comes with that 2.4 gigahertz dongle that I mentioned and a little puck to put it on your desk to keep it in place and close. So let me just scroll back up here. Here's again, just kind of a profile image. It's the exact same body and design down to the scroll wheel grip texture. Everything is identical. So I loved that because I've been using the Pulsefire Haste 2 as my daily driver. So like moving over to this thing is exactly the same outside of the little differences. Nice. I talked about previously. But as far as that goes, like it's a very plain mouse. You've got your scroll wheel, your DPI button that can be obviously programmed to whatever you want in Ingenuity. But that's it. Like it's not a bells and whistles mouse. There is a single RGB lighting area in the mouse wheel. But since this is a lightweight mouse, the battery is going to be a little smaller than you might get with a non-lightweight mouse. So that, you know, I just leave it off, the lighting, because I don't want to lose battery life just having a light going there. And there's that dongle that fits right into the bottom of the mouse. Nice and easy. Type-C connectivity at the front for charging and things like that. There's that nice lightweight cable and the puck to go along with the dongle. Of course, like I mentioned, it is compatible with HyperX Ingenuity software.
How is that software these days? I haven't used it in a long time.
It's the same as it was the last time we used it, right? It's basic, but it gets the job done. And like I said, it's a pretty basic mouse when it comes down to it, right? You've got a couple buttons you can configure. You can adjust your lighting. Like I mentioned, you can adjust your buttons. You can set up some macros for those buttons if you would like. And then you can adjust the sensor and DPI settings that are built in. You know, you can scroll through those via that button. No big deal there. But very basic, straightforward, kind of like shooter mouse, right? But I gave this thing a 10 out of 10. I gave the last one a 10 out of 10. And I gave it the recommended. And like, it was a 10 previously, and they've just improved the thing. So how do I not give it a 10 again and recommend it? Like, I absolutely love this thing. Solid. It's lightweight, right? 61 grams. You got tons of DPI to work with to configure it to your needs, right? Depending on your sensitivity likes and how much you want to move that mouse across your mouse pad to adjust it to your liking. We've got the optical switches, which I had no issue with, right? I've been playing a ton of Marvel Rivals using this mouse, played some Apex using this mouse, like picked it right up and went to town, right?
Nice.
The only con, and I don't even know if you can really call it a con, it's got a single RGB zone, but like I mentioned, I turn that off anyways personally to get a little extra battery life out of it.
Yeah, I don't really like RGB on a mouse has never been like a thing for me.
If it's wired, I'll turn it on, because I don't care.
Yeah.
But if it's wireless, I turn it off just to save battery life.
Yeah.
It's not crazy expensive either, right? Like right now, the current pricing is $100.
That's not bad.
It's usually about $120, but as of publishing, it's $100. So I think it's well worth the money for a mouse that, like, generation over generation, they just find these things to improve while still providing just like a straightforward, good performing mouse. So
yeah, nice.
Super happy with it.
Very, very nice. Well, I really like the color. Obviously, the switches with the 4K sensor, definitely really nice. And it must be really good, because Ryan doesn't often give 10 out of 10.
No.
For products. So if you're looking for a mouse, this is one that Ryan definitely recommends. So definitely go ahead and check that review out. We'll move on to news and a little bit of stuff to go with the RTX 5070 launch. Actually, before we do, we have a comment that says, why are all the GPUs sold out? Well, on the NVIDIA side, there's just not enough. I don't know how they screwed it up when we talked about that. On the AMD side, everybody is realizing all the AMDs are sold out as well, and we will talk about that. But everybody realized that, these AMD 9070, 9070 XT aren't bad, and I can actually get one at MSRP. So everybody that's like what they're like, this is my chance to get a card at MSRP and maybe the card that I want. So I'm going to buy right now. Like, I'm not going to wait. You know, it's not one of those things where, like, if you saw it, you had to get it, because
absolutely
they are sold out. And even there were a lot higher stocks of 9070 and 9070 XT cards. So you had a better chance of getting one. And I think that's everybody just jumped on that.
And I think maybe we didn't have a story about that. Like, I saw a pile of
We'll get into all that. Also, somebody in the chat said, I got a 5070 for $830 in India, so I have no other option at this price, because 4070 Super is coming at the same price now. I hope I don't regret it. I honestly, unless you're paying double, think about if you're going, if you're, especially if you're going, I don't know what you were coming from previously, but
47. That's true.
Yeah. So like whatever, I think you should be happy to get your card. Yeah. You might've paid a little bit more for it, but it's not like you're paying double, right? If you're getting a 50-70 or if you're getting a 50-70 for 1,000, then yeah, might be bad. Right. And I don't know what's available in India and the price differences and things like that and what you guys have to pay. But if you're getting, again, like a 50-70 for $1,000 USD, then you might feel a little bit bad. But getting a little bit over MSRP in this kind of situation we're in with availability is not necessarily horrible. And think about it. Now you have your gaming PC ready to go, right? It wasn't like, again, RTX 30 series, like everybody bought all their parts and then they couldn't get GPUs and they just waited around. So talking about 5070 launch, Asus did something pretty interesting is they actually announced their pricing for their cards. So all of the other RTX 50 series, like all of the other pricing was never known. Like you knew the MSRP card, what that would be. But when it came to like the Strix and the Astral and any other cards, like none of the pricing was known till the day of the launch, but Asus actually announced their pricing. So you would know their pricing if you were looking to buy a card, which was kind of nice. Nobody else did it. But again, you see the same thing. You see that their 5070 Prime, which is their MSRP card, is $549. And then the Prime OC, which I assume the only difference is the overclock, is the $699. Exact same thing that Zotac did. So and if you wanted their highest end 5070, it's going to be their Tough Gaming at $739. But it was nice for them to at least release the pricing so you would know what to get. So that was definitely nice. Then because of incoming tariffs and things like that, MSI pricing has increased on their RTX 50 series GPUs, which again is just disappointing at the same time. The RTX 5070 Ti is now the MSRP model from $749 is now $819 on MSI's website. Yeah. Which again, which is like, again, one of those things where it's like, okay, that MSRP was what, good for a week, a couple of weeks?
Yeah.
It's one
almost
of those,
a 10% increase in price.
Yeah, so that's like the thing with this whole thing, and again, it has to do with tariffs and things like that. But it's just hard to really judge any of these cards because you can't get them at the prices.
Well, and that's at the base model, right?
Yeah, that's the base model.
So like even then.
And again, as a reviewer, I'm just like, it's like, oh, get the MSRP card. Wait.
I mean, I guess it could be worse, but the problem is this card even going to be available for $819? No, probably not. Right.
I don't know.
Because that's saying that like the MSRP of the base card was $749, which is the MSRP for like Founders Edition, right? If there was a Founders Edition. So that price was only available to start, and then like that's not even going to be a valid price even without these supposedly tariff related increases in price. So is $819 even going to be a valid starting point?
Yeah it's, and again, everybody's doing it. It's not just MSI was just the first one. But yeah, it's just like one of those things where the whole GPU ecosystem is just in such a bad place right now.
Yeah.
In general, it just really is. Talking about, we talked about it last week, the missing ROPs in RTX 50 series cards, 5090, 5080, 5070 Ti. So CyberPower has a guaranteed ROP program. So they're going to check it before you get your system that has a 50, one of those cards in it, which is, I guess, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I would hate to get a system and be like, wait, you shipped me one without.
And I mean, this doesn't take a lot of work on their side
to
validate. So yeah. It's great.
Yeah. So definitely nice to see that. But we'll move on to Radeon RX 9070 and 9070 XT. Last week, we put in our guesses on what the prices were going to be, because that was the biggest thing coming into this Radeon 9000 series launch, was what are the prices going to be? Because they have to compete against NVIDIA. And I think I said $699 for the 9070. I believe that's what I said.
Well, either way, we were wrong.
Yeah, we were very wrong. And AMD,
in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. AMD came in $549 for the 9070 and $599 for the 9070 XT, which is really, really good pricing. And that's why everybody is so happy with this. I didn't get these. I have a 9070 here, but I haven't reviewed it yet. But I don't have a 9070 XT. Essentially, when it comes to performance, I would always say I love Tech Power Up reviews. Go to Tech Power Up if you want to see reviews of these. But the 9070 XT is essentially right around the same performance as the RTX 5070 Ti, which I wrote this down earlier. So
it beats it a lot of times too.
Yeah. So that is at $599. The 5070 Ti is $749. So a big price difference, but they're essentially right around the same performance. Now you can argue about FSR4 and DLSS4 and things like that, but just in general, it's around the same price or around the same performance as a 5070 Ti, and much cheaper. And then the 9070 is the same price as the 5070. They're both $549. But they have right around the same performance. So again, you can kind of choose which one you get. But I think that 9070 XT for the price is a very good buy. Oh, and yeah. I think that's why people jumped on it. And why all the 5070 reviews you see, they're kind of like, it's just kind of underwhelming. It's not great. And then you see the reviews of the 9070 XT and everybody's like, oh yeah, this is the card. This is the, you know, card that, thanks AMD for doing this, because the GPU market's so bad. And that was the thing we talked about a few weeks ago, was that the GPU market, there's no, at the high end, there's no competition. So you can have all of these issues with availability, actual MSRP, all of that stuff, even all the ROP issues and everything. You can have all these, but it doesn't matter, because at 5080 and higher, there's no competition. But in this segment, there is actual competition, and you can see that in people really like what AMD is doing. And I kind of, when AMD said they were only going to compete at this price level, I was kind of upset, because I wanted them to really compete in the high end. But they know that maybe there is some restriction on R&D and things like that, where like they're just going to focus on this, and then maybe this gives them more of a market share where next generation they can also attack the high end. So I like it. I'm pretty, from everything that I've seen, I'm pretty impressed overall.
I texted you like the morning they announced it, and like I'm 2 hours ahead of you, and I was like, oh man, I'm just gonna text him. I know he's probably asleep, but I just was like so surprised about the price.
Yeah,
in a good way. So this is great news.
Really, really like the prices there. And just like all of the RTX 50 series, this was also sold out instantly at launch. Now, the good thing about the launch was there were lots of cards available. Like if you look at this from, this is from OC UK, this picture we have right here, they had over 1,000 cards at launch, which is a lot. And you can see Newegg posted a ton of pictures of pallets of cards that they had. I know people that went to Micro Centers, and there were a ton of cards to choose from. So if you went to Micro Center, you didn't there wasn't just one card that you could get. You could choose between the Sapphire or the Asus or the ASRock or whatever. You could choose the card that you want, which is definitely good. It always sucks when you think you're going to get the Asus card and then it's sold out, you know? Yeah. So it's really
nice. But you're there and you're like, if I don't buy one now, I'm not going to get one.
Yeah. So it was good. And AMD did have a briefing with AMD, last month, and they did say that they were working really, really hard to have availability. And yes, everything did sell out in the first day, but you could kind of get one. If you really wanted to get one, you could get one. but everything is sold out now. So we'll see when that stock replenishes on both sides too. Like, I have no clue when we're going to see more 50 series cards come out either. But shout out to everybody that got a 9070 or 9070 XT. I'm definitely jealous because I would really like to test the XT version of the card. So, but yeah, pretty big difference between the launches, I'd say.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people really excited about the 5070. Everybody and their mother is excited about
a lot of positivity.
9070 XT. So we'll see how that goes and how we'll see market share change over this year. It'll be really interesting. Talking about that, AMD is not just making a 9070 and 9070 XT. They also will be moving down to a 9060, which would probably be more of like, I would say, a 1080p card. I think that's a good thing. You tackle these higher volume segments. So 9060 and 9060 XT possibly coming later this year. What do you think of them doing this?
No, it's great. And I think, like, let's get in this flow of like, okay, even though it's very similar to NVIDIA, like 70 series, 60 series, right? Like the 9060, 9070. And then you've just got this, like the base, you know, and then the XT, right? I like the, I don't know, the stair stepping of it,
yeah,
across the board. And I think that's can be easier to understand than some of the confusion NVIDIA's brought in with Super sometimes, TI sometimes, you know, different launches like the base is going to be available and then the XTs, you know, or the TIs coming out, right? Like, yeah, if they can just launch both at the same time,
if these are very competitive against an NVIDIA 5060,
yep,
SKU, it's going to be really, really good, especially price-wise, because again, they killed it on the 9070 XT price-wise. So if you can get a 9060 XT that's $150 cheaper, or even $100 cheaper, that's very compelling for an end user. Again, that $100 can go very, very far.
So now you've got this precedent set with these price differences. So like, what can NVIDIA do?
Well, that's the thing too, is that, okay, they were able to do that $599 price, and maybe they're losing money on that $599 price too, right? Sure. Just to get market share. So can they also do that on the 9060 series? Can they do that price? Maybe. So we'll see. It'll be, like I said, it'll be interesting to see. Yep. He says, Tech Power Up has the 9060 XT using the Navi 48 die. That has to be wrong, right? Yeah, that's the thing. It's not finalized. Tech Power Up does have a really good GPU database. It's awesome if you guys haven't seen it. Let me bring it up here.
Yeah,
because none of that's finalized. Let me see. 9060 XT. Yeah, they have these really awesome spec pages if you guys haven't seen it. And it says, Navi 48 right here. None of this is official. So this is kind of just speculation. So I'm not 100% sure. But they have these, like I said, it's just so much information just right on these pages. Not sure what it's going to be. I don't know. I haven't been briefed on it either. So not 100% sure on that, but yeah, it's exciting. I think the biggest thing is that there is competition, right? And again, as you get into these lower SKUs too, Ryan, you have to also figure in Intel in there somewhere, right?
Yeah. It's funny you bring up Intel. I was at a conference for work last 2 days, and yesterday we were in like a breakout session at lunch, and I was walking by this other table that I wasn't sitting at because every table had a different topic. Was at a different table, but I heard like Intel and AMD, like just out of the, as I was walking by, I like paused and stopped. And then like, I heard like NVIDIA. And so I was like, hang on, I'm going to sit down here, 'cause this sounds interesting to me more than like the other table I had been sitting at. And sure enough, somebody at the table had just built a new gaming rig with an Intel GPU.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, like all I said, right, as, cool.
If you want a game at 1080p, and again, there's a lot of competition, and that's the biggest thing. Like, you see how exciting the GPU market is now that we just have another option, right? With the AMD and the 9000 series. Now, bring that down again. If you go lower, and Intel's also in the mix, now you have three choices. That's super exciting, and because there's competition, that brings to better pricing, more innovation. If there's nothing, you don't get much as the end user. So I think that's the best thing about AMD finally getting in the game, and Intel also being there as well, especially when we get down to the lower end SKUs. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to what people are using currently, new Steam stats came out, and the RTX 4060 is the most popular GPU currently. And that shows you a lot too, right? We always talk about these high-end GPUs, but the 4060 is the most popular GPU in Steam hardware survey. So I think that's where most people are still buying in that kind of segment.
Right. Yeah, you pull that survey out and you're like, okay, so while we talk a lot about the 80 and the 90 and the 70s, like, this is the big,
I mean, if you look at this, it's 4060, 4060 Ti, 4070. That's probably like the I guess 4070 Super is in here, but beyond that, like, that's the highest end SKU is the 4070 Super right there.
Yep.
But
look at, I mean, there's a lot of 20 series in there too.
Which, yeah,
it is surprising.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty interesting. But I mean, again, we have to think, like, not everybody's super crazy enthusiast. Not a lot of people are gaming. I mean, so many people are still gaming at 1080p. So you don't need the higher class cards either.
Right.
It's something we don't think about because you're gaming on 1440p at least, and higher frame rates and everything like that. But pretty interesting to see that. Mobile World Congress was this past weekend, I believe. Typically, it's more of a it's Mobile World Congress, so it's like phones and stuff like that. Not as much stuff that we talk about, but Samsung was showing off a lot of their OLED tech there. They had all this whole OLED display and some actually really cool things that they were doing. But the coolest thing that I saw was this. So this was a prototype mobile gaming console that is using one of their foldable OLED displays. And again, the biggest thing I always felt with, like, the mobile gaming consoles, the ROG Allies, Lenovo, whatever the Lenovo is called, and all of them, the MSI Claw, everything, right, is that it is decently big, and it doesn't like this would fold down to make it more compact.
Yeah. It doesn't look very big to start, though, in my opinion.
I mean, that looks about how big you think
that's the big piece looks like, the extra stuff on the sides, but like, look at the USB-C, I presume.
Yeah, I guess
going into it. Like, it's,
but I like this. And again, you have to think, like, how many times are you folding, unfolding, like, how does that affect the screen and everything? But it would lead to some really cool form factors and things like that that will be used for these mobile gaming consoles, right? And I think that's the cool, for me, that's the cool thing, to see different form factors, to not just see the Steam Deck look for everything. But you also have to wonder, like, if the whole thing is foldable, how are you connecting left and right, and how does that fold actually? How easy is that fold too? Because you have to have cabling between the fold. Right.
Yeah, you've got to either have like a some sort of flex or bulk of I don't know.
Yeah, but I thought that was pretty cool. I would use one of these, a foldable. But again, you have to see, like,
I gotta see it in person, man.
Yeah, it's one of those things you have to see. How does that fold actually look in person and everything like that? But I thought that was pretty cool. They had some other interesting stuff. They showed some newer gaming displays. One was, how many hertz was it? I forget. So Ryan, it's the Flex Gaming Display, 7.2-inch foldable OLED. So only 7.2-inch.
Yeah.
But they showed a lot of cool stuff. 500 hertz OLED gaming display as well, that they showed off, which is pretty cool too. So interesting stuff. And the cool thing about it is, like, Samsung will come out with these, and then a lot of other companies will use the panels.
Use that screen, yep.
Yeah, so that's a nice thing as well. So really cool to see that. Also at WMC, Lenovo showed off a solar-powered laptop concept. So if you're somebody who likes to be outside and you're not necessarily around power outlets, you could use this. Now, I didn't really look into this all that much. So solar cells, 24% over. So it's essentially the top of the laptop is an entire solar panel.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I mean, if I've got it open, though, like, how much sunlight am I getting?
True.
Compared to when I'm not using it and it's closed.
True.
It'd be cool if the panel, like, if it was another panel that could come off the back, so you could kind of angle it,
yeah,
opposite of what the screen is, right?
I like this. There's so many times where, like, I like to be somewhere where there's not necessarily power available, and to have something like that would be pretty nice to have. That I don't really have to worry about it. I think that would be a big thing. Is like, being at the beach or being somewhere where you don't have power would be nice. And you don't have to carry like that. I have like the portable battery packs, you know, where you can plug in type C and charge like a 65 watt laptop with.
And Lenovo's been really like innovative with these things, right? Last year's CES, we saw the, I forget what it's called, but at the top, you know, they had the little connector for, you want to add a better camera or some better lighting or better speakers, right? You could just like snap these devices on and add different functionality to your device. I like seeing Lenovo doing this. And yeah, I apologize, I've twice hit the back button on my mouse tonight and hopped out of the stream.
Oh man, this guy. I know. I've done that a few times. It does happen.
I was like, what?
I figure your kids are running down, and you know,
that's
what I figure. But yeah, pretty cool there from Lenovo. And again, it's concept. So, but we have seen concepts from just like the rollable display. That's a real product that you can buy. The foldable OLED laptop that I actually reviewed. You do see concepts come into real devices. So over, and again, all this tech is continually getting better. So, you know, maybe you do have solar cells that can get enough sunlight, even being at that angle. And like I said, a lot of stuff can happen. So pretty cool to see that. Western Digital out of the SSD game. So keep your WD black. If you had it, it will be it will be a collector's item.
Yep. I had the OG SN750.
Okay.
It might be like right here. I might just...
Still have it? You better put that thing in a case and, you know, yeah, there it is.
That's
the one. That's a nice one.
That's the EK, yeah.
Yeah, the EK.
It's a smoking one, in my opinion.
Yeah. But so a while back, Western Digital did buy SanDisk, and then you did have a lot of the same product, right? So Western Digital would come with a portable SSD. SanDisk would have their portable SSD. They had the same components, they had the same speeds, and you saw that with the SSDs as well. So Western Digital is just going to focus on their physical hard drives for data center and all that enterprise, where SanDisk is going to be the performance SSD maker.
Okay,
that's it. So you're not going to see more WD blacks, you're not going to see the WD blues. It's all going to be moved to SanDisk, which makes sense. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see a SanDisk black.
What is there?
I was like, what is their line of disks?
Yeah. I know, like I said, I'm a big fan of their portable SSDs. I'm a huge fan of their, these guys, the,
micro
SD. Yeah, they're SDs. That's like all I use in my camera.
I've got a SD card here, an Extreme Pro.
Yeah, so the best one. So, so yeah, this was already in the making anyways. They announced it previously. It just kind of all went through now. So yeah, but like I said, put that thing in a case and save it, because it's tech history, you know. Last thing here. So back in the day, there's a website.
Yeah.
Called dig.com, D-I-G-G. And it was sort of like
Reddit.
It was essentially like Reddit, a little bit different.
Yeah.
It was more, what was the other website? Oh, I can't think of it now. It's like really tech centric website.
Slashdot?
So, yeah, it was like Slashdot.
Kind of, yeah.
But a better version, sort of. And then obviously Reddit came out, and Dig was obviously started by Kevin Rose, and they had their web show called Dig Nation, which was like one of the first sort of like tech online shows way before
it was really good.
Way before podcasts and everything like that. It was a cool, like I said, very, very cool. It looks like Dig is coming back. And the interesting thing about it is that Kevin Rose is teaming with Alex Ohanian, who is the co-founder of Reddit, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Some people have said that Reddit will be charging a monthly fee coming up. And this is the perfect time to launch this because of that. I don't know if that's true. That's just what somebody said. But it's cool to see like something that you... And I would go to this website all the time. Like, what's the top story today? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And for all of us tech people, it was like I said, it was like the place. So it'd be interesting to see how this comes back. They launched this website that you see right here. You can put in your email when it goes live. It's supposed to be AI powered, community focused. They put out a video. So yeah, pretty interesting. We'll see how this will work. I remember like we would always try to get Think Computers to the top story on Dig.
Oh wow.
Way back in the day. So maybe we'll try to do
that. Yeah, it was different. And like then Reddit came out, and my buddy went to Reddit like pretty soon, and I was like, I'm not going to that trash site. Like Reddit was so weird compared to Dig, you know. And
then in this video, they talk about how they used to hate each other because it was like a kind of like a war between the websites. Yeah, so pretty cool. And with that, we'll move to our question of the week because it has something to do with this. Yeah. The question of the week is because if you didn't know, Kevin Rose, who started Dig, was actually on one of the most popular, especially in our time, one of the most popular tech shows that like people don't realize. You think of YouTube and you think of all the tech content that you can get. You can watch us, you can watch Linus, you can watch all the people, you know. Yeah. You can watch a ton of people. You can get everything that you want when it comes to any product tech related. You can watch, you like I said, there's everything at your fingertips. But back in the day, there was not.
No,
pre YouTube's especially, there was not. But Kevin Rose was on the Screensavers, which was a great tech show, an awesome tech show.
I mean, it was on a whole cable network.
Yeah, it was on cable network, and then there was G4.
Yep.
So the question of the week, I want to ask you, Ryan, what was some early tech content that you used to watch?
Yep. So I never had like a package that included tech TV, became G4, right? So I was late to that show, but so you were mentioned like tech content. So to me, that's like video content, and I'm going to loop podcast into there as well, because so the one that just popped into my head first was like, who was doing like some of the first video? And I know we've talked about this guy before.
I know you're going to say already.
He's a revival, but 3D Game Man.
That's who, right? I was going to say.
Rodney Reynolds.
Yeah.
So he would do videos. Like he would do reviews of products, but he would have videos as well. And which was like groundbreaking at the time.
Yeah.
Right? They weren't hosted on YouTube or anything. They were on his site. Rodney kind of started to revive it like a year or so ago. I don't know if he's continued that or not. So that was like one of the very first. And then I used to read Maximum PC all the time, and they had a super early start in podcasting. So the Maximum PC podcast, I mean, I started listening to that in, I want to say 2000, like, I don't even know, 2010 or even before that. No, I know it was before that, like super early. Maybe I will 2005 possibly. I didn't jump on board with Linus like super early. But yeah, those are, I mean, those are probably them. And then I watched a ton of like G4. Attack of the Show was like my jam back
in the day. I never watched that.
Really. Oh my God. Like
I heard it was, I was
after work, because it was like a new live show every day after work. So it was just constant.
And then the crazy thing is like a lot of those shows are like prerequisite towards like the tech content that we see now.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that was the biggest, especially when G4, like that was such a crush to everybody when G4 went under.
Yes.
Because, and a lot of those people are like YouTube creators now or whatever, but yeah, I mean, G4 was like the place if you wanted to watch tech content on TV. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, This Week in Tech, like all screen, like you mentioned, Screensavers.
So many was, great Screensavers shows. Was such a great show.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this is like our people. Like you think about it now, you think of like how many tech creators there are, right? And the range of different tech creators from like us, like PC hardware to phones to like your homebrew kit stuff that you're into. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's just so much. Back then, there was nothing, especially if you were into like computers, there was really nothing beyond, you know,
some forums
tech,
and
tech
stuff.
TV forums, like I, like hard form for a long time was like the place. But I brought up 3D Game Man, right?
Yeah.
And
18 years ago.
Yeah. So like, if you look, he's like reviewing Arctic Silver Thermal Compound 18 years ago.
Radeon. What was that Radeon card up there? The V, like...
Yeah.
A 64 meg video card.
But like
he was optical mouse.
He was doing this before
GeForce 3.
Yeah, like he was doing this before it was like a big, like before YouTube was a big thing and like all of this content. He was one of the first like real tech YouTubers, I would say. I would say he definitely was. If you guys have anybody in the chat wants to chime in with anybody else who was like really early on the scene when it came to,
I mean, did you have any others like that you could think of?
Beyond 3D Game Man, I don't think.
Like, yeah, because I mean, just video.
Because like,
I remember right to him for video.
I remember I was like, oh man, I wish I could do what this 3D Game Man guy could do, and then I kind of like modeled all my stuff after what he did because it was like, this is the sort of future, you know what I mean? And then I had to figure out how to use a camera and like use YouTube. Like everything was
Vision,
so
gosh, Abit, like all these brands that are not around anymore.
Yeah, look at all these
ATI instead Gameward, of AMD, you know.
Yeah,
like I had that thermal tank cooler on that GPU up there. Like that's exactly what my 4400, that's a 4600 there, but I had a PNY 40 Ti 4400 with that thermal take aftermarket cooler and those heat sinks on it. And it was that purple PCB. Like I had that.
That's what I mean. Like there was, look at the old Corsair memory. This is back when Corsair just made memory.
That's what they did. Yeah.
Yeah.
The XMS stuff. Yep.
Yeah. So like I'm trying to think anything else. Like I said, Tech TV, G4, I'm trying to think if there was any other early YouTubers. Like 3D Game Man was like, because it was very PC hardware centric. That's why I used to watch it.
Yep.
I'm just trying to think if there was anybody else that I really watched.
I mean, PC Perspective, they have done a podcast for a really, really long time as well. And they did video, you know, not from the start, I don't think, but they had video for a really long time starting off as well. But like some of the other big sites, like you think of like the old Anantech and Tom's Hardware, and I mean those are the ones that come to mind. They didn't do video, right? Like they just didn't.
They do now, but
But back in the day, like it's not like there was 100 tech YouTubers to choose from on YouTube. They just weren't.
Yeah, there was just like a handful. Oh man, I'm just like going through all of this old stuff.
I know, and,
like,
I see all these. I'm like, oh hey, we reviewed that over at like Bjorn, and just like recognizing, like reading through you know, magazines to get this information, to buy these products. Vantech, UV fans. I saw an article yesterday, I think, of like these like five trends that original PC modders used to like have to do. And it was like cutting your own window in the side panel and cold cathode tube lighting.
I remember that.
And custom fan grills. And what else was on there? It was just like, UV like acrylic cases. Just the good old days, right?
Yeah, like if I go to think like, because that's like 18 years ago, right? Let's see.
Yeah.
So if I go to like the Think Computers page, let's see. And I do it by, again, oldest. So like 13 years ago. Yeah, there you guys want to see a really old, really young looking Bob. Here's so the first video. Now, I did have another YouTube channel where I put up Think Computer stuff. Maybe we'll go to that one after this, depending on what's on it. But like Lepan TC970 Android tablet was the first.
That's video. Got 81,000 views, dude.
Yeah.
You know, did it have that many views? Like, was that like a huge video to start, or did it just like gain those over?
It gained those over time. A lot of these have gained it over time.
Sure.
You know,
because to me, like back in the day, 13 years ago, an 80,000 view video would have been
no. But yeah, like look how young I look right there.
I know.
Yeah. Let me go to the other YouTube and we'll see if there's some Think Computers, because I didn't create the Think Computers YouTube channel till I had some stuff on like my other YouTube channel. This is the other one that nobody knows about.
We're gonna know now.
I know. Well, let's see. Okay, so let's see, oldest. So 18 years ago at CES.
Really?
This is like Sony OLED. Sony's first OLED display 18 years ago at CES.
Waiting in line for a PS3 up there too, but yeah.
Yeah, 18 years ago.
N60, okay.
But this was like my personal YouTube because like you didn't, back then you just like made a YouTube channel.
Right, yeah, there was like, what? No, not a brand. It's, oh my gosh, that InWin case, like.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Just like gaming footage, like random stuff. CES. Crucial SSD at CES 2008. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's just like how different the landscape is now. But it is kind of interesting to see the old, you like how many people are left from that. Because like 3D Game Man, I haven't seen any of his stuff lately. And obviously like a lot of the tech TV people went on to do their own thing. I think that, isn't the screensaver still going?
It might be. I like Twit, like this week in tech, I think is still going. That I never watched it afterwards.
But I watched it for a while. I used to listen Laporte to, I used to listen to Patrick the podcast. I mean, it's still a bit like here. So, so yeah, a lot of this stuff's still there, but if you think about like the how big it was at the time, and I think that's the craziest thing too is we got to see when there was like nothing to now there's just so much content. It is pretty interesting. Right.
Well, and anybody has the opportunity to make that content.
Yeah, like a lot of the people that I'm friends with now in the scene are like new people who like came up off of TikTok. Yep. JC, my one friend, and you know some other people, like they've only been in it like a year, you know, and they're like brand new creators. That's the best part about it. But yeah, pretty interesting to go down memory lane and see some of the, you know, and that's what like Dig brings back all those like kind of old memories of like the old internet before social media was like this really, really big thing. And I think it's just a little bit different. So, but yeah, talking about what we have coming up next week. So I'll be taking a look at a very flashy keyboard, but I want to let you guys know that if it's
I thought, and I could have swore we looked at this already. No. I mean, we've seen it.
You've seen it
in person, but we've never
reviewed it. I've never spent a lot. I got to pick it up. I got to touch it, but I never reviewed it.
Yep.
So it is the Hype Cube, which has crazy RGB lighting, but I want to see if it's more than that. Like, when you get a gaming keyboard, you want to make sure that it's actually good for gaming. So yes. I'll be taking a look at that, as well as a really cool portable storage device. So this is from Patriot. This is their EV330. It's a little portable SSD enclosure. Comes with, like, this part of it is actually the Type-C cable. USB 3.2 Gen 2, so 1,000 megabytes a second. And they sent over, actually, their VP4000 mini that they have pictured here to use with it. So sweet. It just creates a nice little portable SSD. And the nice thing about it is that you can always upgrade that SSD over time. Or if you want to move that SSD into, like, a mobile gaming console or something like that, you can do that. You're not just stuck with something like this, which I can't open, and it's just a portable SSD, right? So pretty cool device there from Patriot. So definitely stay tuned for that. And that is going to wrap up the podcast for this week. Again, lots going on. I also have, like, a bunch of motherboards here. We have a 9070 non-XT. I have another 5070, and we have some new cases coming in. There's a lot going on. And some new announcements. We needed to be doing some contests too, so that stuff will be coming as well. So there's just, like, a ton of things going on. So definitely stay tuned for all of that. We will be gaming tonight as well over on Twitch. As long as my computer doesn't, I feel like my computer is just going to blow up. Yeah.
This guy.
So twitch.tv/syncomputers if you want to continue to hang out. Ryan runs that stream, so you can yell at the person playing bad. It's going to be Ryan. But twitch.tv/syncomputers. And as a reminder, next week we will be on Wednesday again. So not Thursday, we'll be back on Wednesday. So until then, we will catch you guys later.